What I want to talk to you guys today about is what I call the possibility of the impossible. And it's one of those statements that right off the bat doesn't make much sense. It's kind of a contradictory phrase, but I'm hoping to illustrate some points that will help us to see that a little bit more clearly. You know, I know sometimes in your life you're facing things, whatever those are, obstacles, struggles, and that stuff feels like a mountain. And when you stand in front of that, it seems almost insurmountable. But in looking at Jesus' life, I want you guys to find comfort, strength, and courage to continue on. Sometimes when you feel God's leading you, you look up at the sky and you're like, God, really? Like you want me to go down this road. This is a pretty tough road. But let's just take a second and look at the path that Jesus had to walk by outlining some of the things that he was called to do. So real quickly, what Jesus was called to do. Leave heaven, become human, come to earth as a man, wait until the appointed time to show people who he really was, go across the land teaching and making disciples, be tempted by the devil himself and yet do not sin in any way, shape, or form, be perfect while being human, be persecuted, beaten, humiliated, and then killed by the very ones that he came to save, rise from the dead and ascend to heaven, seated at the right hand of God. That's it. Right? That seems impossible. Which is why the story of Christ is seen by so many as a fictional event. I've heard it so many times. Well, you know, Jesus, he was a good guy, and he said some good things. But they don't believe that to be possible. I can tell you that it's true, that it was possible, because God makes the impossible possible. So I just want to take a few seconds and look a little bit more in depth at each one of these. And I do mean of just a few seconds on each one. Number one, leave heaven. God told Jesus to leave heaven and come to earth. Now we all know heaven is a place of serenity, completeness, love. There's no tears, there's no pain, there's no death in heaven. And he had to come here to a world that was brutal and corrupted, ran by greed, lust, and a thirst for power. So he had to go from there to here. And he did it. To become human. This is a huge deal, and I could write lessons on this fact alone. But he was called to become human, to take all of his divine qualities and add in the fallible human ones. Yes, he was still 100% God, but he was called to be 100% man as well. Wait until the appointed time to show people who he really was. So, his mom's nagging on him, come on, change the water into wine, let's go, let's go. He's like, fine, I'm going to do this one thing, but I need to wait. I don't want to show people, it's not my time yet. So he waited patiently for 30 years. Let me ask you a question, what could you wait for 30 years? First thing that pops into my mind is Christmas morning. Could you wait for Christmas morning for 30 years? I can see my kids like running out and looking under the tree. I mean, like, well, you have 29 more years to go. That would suck. That would suck. What about the birth of a child, right? Some of you guys have waited 30 years. And then this is just where my mind goes. Like, I imagined my wife pregnant for 30 years, and then I like shot that out of my mind. I'm like, no. No. Don't ever think of that again. Oh, my goodness. But he waited patiently. 30 years he waited. Be tempted by Satan, yet do not sin. Listen, he was in the desert 40 days, got Satan on his back, trying to tempt him. You know, Satan offered him the world. He's like, here, you know, I'll give you this. All you have to do is bow down. Like, Jesus knew what he had to do, and Jesus knew he was there to suffer. And he's like, oh, well, you can have the world. But I find it funny that Satan was offering him something that wasn't his to give. It's not the devil's world. This is God's world. Asked him to use his power to feed himself. Throw yourself down and use the power of heaven. But he didn't do that. You know what's funny? Is that when I was studying for this, I realized something. That Satan was attacking his fallible human qualities, not his divine ones. Saying, hey, what about your greed? And what about your thirst for power? And what about these things that I know might be able to crack? And Jesus was like, absolutely not. He didn't fold. Did not. Be murdered by the ones you came to save. This one would probably be the hardest thing for me. be murdered by the ones that you came to save. Not just being killed. I know that sucks. I've never done it before, but I know that would be bad. But yet, to be killed by the ones that you're there to save. So you reveal yourself instead of the hero's welcome that you rightly deserve. Not that he asked for it and not that he wanted it, folks, but that he rightly deserved. He's met with ridicule, hatred, and the people who said they loved him stabbed him in the back. I can just see myself, I'd have been like, nah, I don't know if I'm game for this. Like, I don't think I can go through with that, which is why I'm not God. But he did. It was the ultimate show of love and devotion to us. So rise from dead and ascend to heaven to conquer death and the grave. Rise up and be seated at the right hand of God. What an inspiration. This shows us that through Christ, we can have life eternal with God in heaven. He didn't just tell us about it. He went a step further and showed us it can be done by doing it himself. So Philippians 2, 5 to 9, this is my life verse, people, just to let you know, says this, "And your relationships with one another have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." And, well, that's still 11. "Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name." Christ made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Another commentary said that Jesus didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status, no matter what. He could have easily taken his power and made all the bad things that were going to happen to him go away, but he didn't. Guys, he came to this earth to serve us and not to be served. He was obedient to death. And when I think about the things that Jesus did when he was on this earth, it was nothing short of truly amazing. It is why we study his every move and his every word, and we try with all of our might to live a life worthy of the calling that he has given each and every one of us. Jesus was here for 33 years, and in that time he accomplished what nobody else could have. He fulfilled over 400 prophecies, some say even upwards of 500. And showed the people exactly how much God loved them. He taught and healed and restored the faith of so many. So John 16:33 says this, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." This is Jesus talking before he was crucified. He's talking to the apostles. He already had overcome the world. He knew it. But they didn't. He was trying to give them comfort. He was trying to give them peace of mind in and through the things that he's asking them to do. Jesus would do the impossible right before their very eyes. He would conquer death and overcome the world just as he said he would. He would live a sinless life and die a death worthy of a criminal. And he did it for you and for me. He laid down everything, which is amazing. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. When you face that mountain and you think to yourself, there's no way that you can do it, you're right. You in your humanness, but I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Remember that verse. I know it's pasted on many of your walls in your homes. It's many of your life verses. Our strength is fleeting. And it leaves us faster than we get it. You know, when I was younger, I told you this before, that when I was younger, I used to think that my strength and my wisdom would be enough for anything that I would ever have to go through. But this is what I didn't tell you. When I was young, I really believed, truly 100%, that I would be the only person that would never die. I really did. Explains what I did when I was younger, but I really thought that I would never have to face the consequences of death. Fast forward to I'm older and more fragile now, and I've realized that there will be a time when I will pass away. There will be a time when my strength and my knowledge will be insufficient. It just won't be enough. It's in that time that your faith will truly be tested. You'll find yourself praying to God for strength and guidance, deliverance, whatever you might be going through, or just praying to God, just show up, God. Show up. Why is it that when we're desperate and we're in these desperate times, we just let the walls fall down? Why can't we come to God like that all the time? You know, some of us like to pray out loud, and others don't. I could probably walk through here and grab up some people and say, come on up here and pray. No problem. And then I could walk through and grab some other people. Come on up here and pray. Not a chance. Not a chance. I was the same way in praying out loud. But I was so afraid of how my prayer might sound. As if when I pray to God, it is for your listening enjoyment. But it's not. Why do I do that? Because I'm worried about what you'll think of me. I worked at this place, and we would go at lunchtime, and we'd pray in the break room. It's pretty cool. But see, at that point, I was not comfortable praying out loud. So I would dread when they were going to go in there and pray. I was like, oh, no. And there was this lady in there. And let me tell you, she could pray. She would use these, like, she would get loud, and she would use these huge words, you know, God, anoint me with supernatural wisdom and power. And I was like, wow. And she's using these words. I don't know what half of them meant. I'm like, yes, God, do that, because that sounds really good. I don't know. Like, do that. I'm like, this lady's a warrior. Like, she can pray. She was getting loud. Like, she was yelling a couple times. I'm like, wow. But then this other lady showed up one time. And that one lady prayed, you know, and she did her thing. And then it got to the next lady. And she just laid herself bare before God. And I was just speechless. I'm like, wait a minute. She didn't use all the fancy words, but it was just real conversation with God. And I won't ever forget that. I remember being in that prayer group before she got there. And while other people were praying, I'd make sure I'd pop my eye open, make sure that everyone had their head down, their eyes closed, and I'd plug my ears. Why would I do that? Because I was concentrating on what I was going to say. Because I didn't want anybody else's talking to mess up what I was going to say. So that when it didn't get to me, and then I wasn't ready, I would be like, oh, God, thank you. And I wouldn't know what to say. I think many of you probably have done the same. Like when someone else is praying, you're like, man, I'm just gonna think about my own thing. So when it comes to me, I know what exactly to say. But I wanted people to think that I was super spiritual and that I knew all the fancy words. But I started to realize after I heard that lady speak, after I heard that lady pray, that it wasn't about that, that I just needed to come to God just as I am. That I didn't need to impress anybody else in the group or impress you guys. I don't even need to impress God, and He's the one I'm praying to. I just need to lay it all down in front of Him and come to Him sincerely. Then I got into the mode because I was praying for good things. And I figured that anything that I pray for that's good, He should answer. Because they're good. They're good things. And then I learned a hard lesson. Just because God can make it happen for you does not mean that He will. For some of us, this is a smack in the face because we pray for things that we might think and might be really good things. We pray for healing for ourselves or our loved ones, for prosperity for the homeless and the poor, for wisdom for our leaders. We believe because we see these things as a necessity that God should also do the same. But we make a mistake in thinking that we understand God and His plan. We have to trust His plan. We have to trust where He's going and what He's doing. We have to understand that He has it all together. He gives strength to the weak and power to the powerless, as it says in Isaiah 40, but He does it to whom He wills. He will ride you up on wings like eagles. It has been Him in your life. It always has been, and it always will be. Jesus was asked to come to earth and to do the impossible, and He did it. I'm telling you right now that God wants you to dream big for Him. He wants you to ask for what you want. If it's in His will, you're going to get it. I said all of this, everything that I just went through, Jesus' life, prayer, everything to illustrate this one point. This is who you pray to. This is how you come to God. Open and honest. And a God that can make the impossible possible. This is who you have the privilege of praying to. John 14:13-14 says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it." You can see how I would take this verse and say that when I pray for good things, all I have to do is end it with, "In Jesus' name," and it will be answered. I was sorely mistaken. Just because God can make it happen does not mean that He will. I have to trust His plan. I know some of you have trouble praying regularly. You just can't remember, which is why your cell phone is a great thing to set an alarm on if you can't remember to pray. Or you just don't know what to say or how to say it. But let me tell you this, you know what you want. And you know how to ask for it. You know what you want, and you know how to ask for it. You know why I know? It's because we were all 7 years old at one point in our time in our lives. We know how to ask for what we want. My two older children, Jameson, who's 7.5, Jackson, who's just going to be 6, they ask for things, and they ask in completely different fashions. Jameson is blunt. She'll walk right up to you. "Can I have that?" She's got no shame. And it's always the last bite of my sandwich. You know that bite. That bite that's got everything. If you're eating a peanut butter and jelly, it's got perfect peanut butter to jelly ratio. You know, it's got everything that you want. And just before you're about to munch on that thing and go into sandwich bliss, you hear those words, "Can I have a bite?" Like, why couldn't you ask me for a bite when it was like the nasty crust? I could have given you some of that. Nobody likes to eat that. I'm kidding. I give her the bite. But my son Jackson, he's completely different. He's completely different. What he will do is he'll drop subtle hints for you. "You know, Dad, that sandwich looks really good. And I bet it tastes amazing." "Okay. Son, do you want a bite?" And then he'll act surprised, like he never thought of it. "What? Really? Okay. I'd love a bite." It was in his little brain all along. So then I tell him, "Son, did you want a bite all along?" He's like, "Yes, Dad." And I'm like, "Listen, pal, if you want something, just ask for it. Don't dance around so that I have to try to figure out what you want. Just come out and ask for it." I think sometimes we come to God the same way, where we dance around what we want. We just don't ask for it. Like, God already knows. God doesn't have to figure anything out. But we act as though He does. And so we just don't talk about it. Let me tell you this. If you cannot see God at work in the small things, then you will never trust to ask Him for the big things. He's at work all around you. He's in everything. He's on display, as it says in Romans 1:20. But sometimes we have to slow down and look for Him. It's amazing how when we do that, we're able to see Him. Sometimes we don't pray for these small things because we don't want to bug God. I've heard that a lot. That we don't want to bring Him to something that He might think that's minute or insignificant. But let me tell you this. If it matters to you, it matters to Him. I'm telling you that if you haven't seen God work in your life, you need to get some better glasses. You need to stare a little longer and look a little harder. I feel bad for someone that hasn't seen God work or marveled at the fact that an infinite God is at work in your very home each day. You're really missing out. Take some time to slow down and talk to God about what you want. Start with the small things. And then when you see Him move, trust Him with your most precious dreams. God wants you to think big and dream big for Him. Not for you, but for Him. He wants to hear from you. It doesn't mean that He won't stop answering your small requests, and it doesn't mean that you should stop coming to Him with those. But you have to stop right off the bat thinking that you're bugging him. He wants to hear from you. So what happened if you started praying for big things? What would happen if you started praying for big things? Sometimes I think that we don't want to pray for big things because it means life change for us. You start praying to be a light in your home or your workplace, and all of a sudden God is going to change your life. You cannot continue on with the way you were going, which is why a lot of people say, don't pray for patience. Oh, because then God will make you have patience. Hello? Pray for patience so you get patience. Right? Even if it means you have to go through something that you don't like, but if you get what you asked for in the end, has he not answered? It's one of those things. We like our status quo, but I'm telling you, God wants to use you. He doesn't want you to be comfortable. Why not pray for something that is so big that if God doesn't show up, it falls flat? So that when he shows up, it has to be him. It cannot be you and your power at all. Let me tell you a story that I heard from a man named Francis Chan. Now, he's an author, and he's a pastor up at a church in San Francisco, and they were doing this Feed the Homeless, basically loving on the community in Golden Gate Park. And they were washing the people's feet, and they were feeding them, but they had a small oversight, and they didn't order any meat. So they had everything set up, but they only had salad. And he gets together with his crew that's there, his staff, and he's like, we cannot continue this. We can't just feed them salad. Like, we need to give them sustenance. This is going to be a horrible disaster. So they sat around and they prayed. God, we're just going to dream that you're going to, in some way, provide. We don't know how, but if you don't show up, God, this thing is done. Show up. 20 minutes later, they got a call from Trader Joe's. Yeah, our freezers went out, and we have a bunch of meat. Do you guys need it? So he's like, yeah. So they brought down the meat and fed every single person there. Why can't we pray like that? Why can't we pray like that? Why can't we pray for a revival, for our schools to change, for our families to be rooted in Christ, for a country that more and more looks for ways to push God aside? Why can't we pray for those things? It seems impossible, right? These things seem impossible, but God makes the impossible possible. Just look at what Jesus did. This is who intercedes for you on your behalf, on your account. You have a direct line to the one who can make all things new and do more than you could ever ask for or imagine. Now, we are pretty imaginative people, but when it comes to the power of God, it doesn't even register on the scale, which is pretty amazing. I use this analogy of sitting in a funny car, right? Things got like 1,000 horsepower. And you're sitting in it, and God's in the driver's seat. And he turns it on, and you just start idling at 5 miles an hour. Okay? He's leading. He's going. Why don't you turn to God and ask him to put the pedal to the metal? To use some of that power? We're scared. I don't know if I can handle the G's. I don't know. Why not say, God, put the pedal to the metal. Floor it. He might go, not yet. Nope. Or he might go, check this out. And then you're pacing back in your seat. Yeah. This is who you pray to. An all-powerful, all-loving, all-knowing God who sits and waits to hear from you. Pastor Bill hit it on it last week, that our prayers are not to take God's will and bend it to our own, but the other way around, to bend our will to his. When we open up the lines of communication, we're the ones that are changed. And our prayer reveals things about us that we never would have seen before. When you dream big for God, you have no choice but to trust him. If it's in his will, he'll make it happen for you. That doesn't mean that every major prayer that you throw out there is going to be answered. But the ones that are supposed to will be. You're the one stepping out on a limb and saying, God, I'm willing to be used. I'm willing to trust you so that if you don't show up, it falls flat on its face. It has to be you. It cannot be me. The things that the apostles Peter and Paul were able to do were only through the power of Jesus. And it was evident to those around them. They weren't They weren't able to do those things if God wasn't going before them and paving the way for them. God has the power to make the impossible possible. The possibility of the impossible only exists through the power of Jesus Christ. They dreamed big for God, and God responded in a major way. Will you do the same? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this time, Lord. Thank you so much for always having an ear, God, and the fact that we can pray to you. Lord, just help us to come to you just open and honest, God. We just lay down those walls, God, and we just look to communicate with you every single day, Father. What a privilege we have to come to you every single day, and the fact that you're waiting to hear from us. Father, don't let that go another day without us understanding how much you love us and how much you want to hear from us. Father, help us to be changed and dream big for you so that if you don't show up, God, it falls flat. So it has to be you, and everyone knows it. Thank you so much for this time. We pray for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.